A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me thus, "Gird your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land. Against Judah's kings and princesses, against his priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Verbum Domini. I will sing your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me and deliver me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. For you are my rock, my fortress. O my God, rescue me from the hands of the wicked. For you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O Lord, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Until the present, I proclaim your wondrous deeds.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Herod was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with the orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Verbum Domini. One of the funniest talks I ever attended was a conference that Dr. Ray Guarendi, you may know him from the radio and his show on race, on family life, and so on, The Doctor Is In. And in it, he was describing, and he has the experience to be able to talk about these things, talking about his 10 children. So he and his wife adopted 10 children. And of course, he also has his psychological background as a psychologist. And he was talking about the differences when his boys or his sons or his daughters would come home. And so he asks his sons, "Well, what'd you do today?" "Stuff." When you ask the girls, they would go into a lot more detail of what went on that day. And just the way that he related it was quite humorous. And I could also relate to it my own boyhood and some of the things that I would say or things that I would do as a boy. And I begin with that because when we think about St. John the Baptist and his martyrdom today, the Passion of St. John the Baptist is the official title for this day. Our colleague said this, "He died a martyr for truth and justice." He died a martyr for truth. And we prayed in that opening prayer, we pray, "Grant, Lord, that we too may fight hard for the confession of what you teach." Today in our divine office, we had a reading by St. Bede the Venerable. And he said this. He said his persecutor had demanded not that John should deny Christ, but only that he should keep silent about the truth. Nevertheless, he died for Christ. Does Christ not say, "I am the truth"? Therefore, because John shed his blood for the truth, he surely died for Christ. So we are happy of our motto that you often see on EWTN, "Live truth, live Catholic." And in today's gospel, we see how when truth is not something that really can be responded to, when a truth is inconvenient, something we don't like, that there can be a coercion to silence that truth. And if that doesn't work, then go to violence. That's the only response to countering truth if one does not want to embrace truth. And so what are the truths today that we need to uphold, that as our colleague today said, that like John, who died a martyr for truth, that we too may fight hard for the confession of what you teach. Truth with love, of course. And that's what makes it embraceable and acceptable. And we can even look at our own lives, can't we? We can say, you know, there's some truths that at first we said, no, I don't want to accept that. But then as we, truth has a way of penetrating when we reflect upon it. Because truth is reality, the way things are. And eventually we begin to accept it, even embrace it, even to teach it. So many converts have that story to tell, how they first resisted, rejected, but then as they're pondering these things and they're reflecting upon them and God's giving them light too, they begin to accept it, to embrace it, and now to teach it because they've understood the beauty of a truth, what helps us to live in reality. Because truth is reality. I've given the illustration before. If I tell you I'm holding up three fingers, you'd say, that's not the truth because that's not the reality of what you're doing. But if I say, I'm holding up two fingers, you would say, well, that matches reality. That's the truth. Last year, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops issued a document which I encourage you to read. It's on the technological manipulation of the human body. The technological manipulation. So we have technology now that we can do many things, things that are helpful to our health and help restore health. But there are also interventions that are injurious to the true flourishing of the human person. And so this document issued March 20th, 2023, Doctrinal Note on the Moral Limits to Technological Manipulation of the Human Body. And so how does it begin? It begins with looking at the natural order of things, that we look at creation, and what does the book of Genesis tell to us? That God looked upon all that he had made, and he found that it was good. He found it very good. So the natural order that we see in creation, as we're coming to the end of this summer, there's still some beautiful days and beautiful colors that we're enjoying. We see the order of his creation, and it's good. Psalm 19 is referred to in this document. The heavens are telling the glory of God. So creation is continually telling the glory of God. And the firmament proclaims or manifests his handiwork. It's his work. It's the order that he has put into creation. And so there's an essential goodness of the natural order, and we are called to respect it. We're called to respect it. You know, there's a story that Father Andrew Apostoli used to tell, Father Andrew of happy memory, of the man who decided, well, he just did not like the force of gravity or that truth about reality, about gravity. And so in order to show his rejection of that, he went to a tall building and he jumped off, rejecting gravity. And he's halfway down and someone yells out, how's it going? He says, so far, so good. But it's not going to end well, is it? And that's what happens when we reject the natural order that God has created. It is good. We're called to respect it. And so what is true of creation as a whole, this document continues, is true of human nature in particular. There's an order in human nature that we are called to respect. So again, what are the truths that especially are being rejected today? The truth about marriage, for which John died, the truth about family life, the truth about our very personhood, our humanity. So what is true of creation as a whole, there's an order to it that God has put into it. We respect it. And really, that's the scientific method that came out of the Catholic faith, because the Catholic faith said, well, there's an order in creation. Let's discover what it is. It's not just chaos. But there's actually an order in creation. And let's discover what that is. And as we begin to discover it, we understand what are the powers and the laws of this order, this intelligence behind creation. That even our DNA is just filled with volumes of information. So that comes from an intelligence. So what is true as a whole of creation is true of human nature in particular. There's an order in human nature we're called to respect. Human nature deserves the utmost respect, since it occupies a singular place in the created order, created in the image of God. We did not create human nature. It is a gift from a loving creator. What did we hear in our psalm today, Psalm 71? On you I depend, O Lord. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb, you are my strength. O God, you have taught me from my youth. You know, the Lord teaches us every day if we have ears to hear. He's got a plan that's going to lead us to flourishing. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Until the present, I proclaim your wondrous deeds. We have in our first reading the prophet Jeremiah, who is a figure of St. John the Baptist. And it's from chapter 1. And how does chapter 1 begin in the book of the prophet Jeremiah? With these words to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. You know, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's wombs. That he appointed you, there's a particular work that he has for you, a particular way that you are to flourish, especially in living out the Ten Commandments that he has given to us. So we did not create human nature. It's a gift. You know, recently there was an article in our register. John Clark wrote a blog about a new book, children's books, by Abigail Favale. And it's titled, Here I Am. And so they have on the cover for boys, Here I Am. And a girl, Here I Am. And what it is it's illustrating to children how the gift of our bodies is a gift. My body is me, says in the boys' book. In the girls' book, my body says, Here I am. My body is a gift. And then it also ties it into the Mass, where it says, sometimes I hear the words, this is my body. And it has portrayed the Mass with the priest elevating the host. This is my body. And then the next picture, Jesus is there. His body says, Here I am. So the body is good. And there is a unity in human nature. I think a lot of people get this wrong. We have to think about this today. The soul does not come into existence on its own and somehow happen to be in this body as if it could just as well be in a different body. A soul can never be in another body, much less in the wrong body. This soul only comes into existence together with this body. This soul comes into existence together with this body. So a human being doesn't have two natures. We have one nature, human nature. And that human nature has a soul and a body. There's a distinction. And yet the unity of our body and our soul is profound. And so this comes from the Catechism, which is quoted in this document as well. It's number 365, I believe, if I can find it here. The unity of soul, this is from the Catechism, number 365. The unity of soul and body is so profound that one has to consider the soul to be the form of the body. It is because of its spiritual soul that the body made of matter becomes a living human body. There is not two natures united, but rather the union forms a single nature, human nature. This is who we are. So body and soul. And this section on the natural order of things concludes with a quote of Pope Francis. Here's what he said. Let us not fall into the sin of trying to replace the Creator. We are creatures and not omnipotent, all-powerful. Creation is prior to us and must be received as a gift. At the same time, we are called to protect our humanity, and this means, in the first place, accepting it and respecting it as it was created. So we have sexual difference from the beginning of God's creation. He made them male and female. As I pointed out in that humorous story at the beginning of Dr. Ray, that there's differences, as this document brings out, on a physical level, but also psychological, spiritual, our personalities, our way of communicating with others, our way of being, of feeling, expressing, of loving, is unique to masculinity or femininity. And that's a good thing, that we are meant to be complementary, to enrich each other, to learn from each other. Of course, there is this equality that we have as human persons, made in the image and likeness of God, and yet with this beautiful complementarity that reflects those elements in God, who is pure spirit. And so some of the scriptures, as a mother cares for her son, so will I care for you, show that feminine element in who God is, and women reflect that. But then Jesus also taught us to call God our Father. So he has that element of the masculinity. And both of us, in that complementarity that we have, beautifully reflect it. So reflect on that today, that there's this profound unity between our bodies and our souls, that we're meant to be in this particular body with our particular soul, and we can receive it as a gift, as a wonderful gift, that God has made me. Here I am, is what those children books say. Here I am. It's a wonderful thing to exist and to cooperate with the way that God has created me, which leads to the first flourishing of myself as an individual, as families, as societies.